Fraser Washbag.
Hello and welcome to episode 39 of the Washbag Swindon Town FC podcast. I'm Ron Smith. 2 weeks after the last podcast, Swindon Town keep winning. A run of four successive wins is Town's best run since 2010 in the league. This continued thanks to a 1-0 win over Fleetwood, a game of patience, perhaps my guests will agree. A warm welcome, Washbag welcome to Vic Morgan.
Hello Ron, how are you?
Good to have you on the podcast.
Thank you very much. 39, I think it was on the first, so that's a long time ago now.
It was, I mean, we're going back, nearly sort of 3 years perhaps.
Yes, it is. It was under a certain Italian manager, I think, at the time.
Lots to talk about then. Anyway, we could have done a different podcast every day, pretty much. And also on the podcast, Adam Tanner returned. Hello, and be interesting to get your views on Andy Williams a bit later on.
Okay, thank you.
Because it always seems to crop up. But this weekend's victory over Fleetwood, a game which several thousand children received free tickets, thankfully. A town win, sent them home happy. Key things sort of going into games that changed in midfield, actually. Adam, as Kassim Luongo came back after Bristol City and Peterborough, Cooper wasn't keen to change. Did you think that those two players would come back in for the game?
I suppose, with Jack Stevens having to move back into defence to make up the numbers there, that, I suppose, brought one of them back in by default. And so I guess the decision then was whether to stick with Gladwin or to use both Luongo and Kassim. I don't think it was... Well, it wasn't an easy decision. I don't think it was one that Cooper could really get wrong, I suppose, in the sense that the difficulty with leaving Luongo out, for example, would be that he's a guy who's probably worth a lot of money, and whether we're going to sell him in the near future or not, he's worth a lot of money. And if you start leaving a player out of a third division team, regardless of how good he is, his value is going to drop quite quickly. I think that would make it difficult to leave him out, so he probably gets on that basis. And Kassim, I mean, he's another asset. He's probably not worth as much as Luongo, but there's the same principle probably applies. And in the greater scheme of things, neither of them have probably really deserved to be dropped, but then neither has Ben Gladwin. So I don't think there's really a right or wrong answer. Ultimately, the team he went with won us the game, but then it was obviously Gladwin, the substitute, with a winning goal.
I mean, the game was a bit of a slow burn, I'd say.
It was awful, to be honest. I mean, somebody behind me said it was dire. I didn't think it was as good as that, quite frankly. And that was mainly because of Fleetwood, who really didn't want to play today. I mean, it was simple as that. And on the midfield subject, I mean, it's interesting, really, because I thought it was a game, really, when you needed to mix it up a bit. And our football was very pretty, but it really didn't seem as though it was going to break Fleetwood down. He just sat there and fell over and rolled over and stuff. And then, as Adam said, he made the substitution, which I thought was very good. And Ben Gladwin comes up and gets the winner. So, and in front of all those assembled young people who must have thought that was fantastic. So, in the end, it's the sort of game where you just say, OK, if you're going to get a promotion, you have to win that sort of game. And they won it against a side who, plainly, apart from one save from West Fodringham, well, a double save, really, if they'd scored then, who knows, they just would have sat on the goal line, quite frankly. So, yeah. West Fodringham again making a crucial save.
Yeah, but I mean, in terms of how teams come to the County Ground or play against us, and it is becoming more apparent that this is how teams will set up, and it does frustrate us being able to break them down. I mean, it's very apparent yesterday that Fleetwood were playing so deep, and from Town's perspective, and basically we had four defenders, and then we had five attackers, pretty much all the time with one in midfield, and it was just difficult trying to find space in the middle. Yeah, and they weren't willing to lump the ball up there.
There was a moment I was looking at the game, and I thought there were about 21 players all in one under one tea towel. That's how it seemed, and it was that sort of game, wasn't it?
So compact. I mean, did Swindon actually have a shot on target other than the actual goal?
Luongo sort of drilled one from about 20 yards with about 15-20 minutes to go. We had one from Abika, which was quite a comfortable save near post. That's probably all I could think of.
But there wasn't many sort of chances of Swindon around the box. It wasn't an exciting game. Obviously, you said all the children there as well wanted to see a bit of excitement.
They got the moment, didn't they?
Yeah, exactly. And the goal was in front of them. But, as the game, as Cooper said, sort of post-match, really, it was just all about we just had to be very patient because Fleetwood made their intentions perfectly clear from the start and just tried to frustrate us.
Yeah, they did. I mean, the only thing you will remember from that game yesterday, I think, is the fact that it's the first time we've played Fleetwood. That's it, yeah. Really. Mm. I don't think there's anything else to take
away. We never played them in the Cup before at all?
Not as far as I can.
No, I don't think so.
No.
Well, I thought it was build about that. We've dropped a few points at home to mid-table teams in games that have been a bit kamikaze, like the Rochdale and Colchester one. They've been a bit of a shootout, and we've scored a couple of goals and it hasn't been enough to win. And yesterday was completely different because, as you say, we didn't even really look like scoring one until we did. But ultimately it did the job, whereas in the previous games, we dropped a fair few points.
Well, yeah, I mean, against sort of, yeah, Oldham Rochdale, for instance, I mean, they were more, they had a more incisive counter-attack, yeah, didn't they? And you know, Fleetwood, I mean, you mentioned about... Who's the name of the...
I can't remember the name of the forward. It was the number 29. We just spent the whole game moaning.
Hitchcock. Just, you know, just spent the first half an hour just rolling over, complaining to the referee. And, you know, it was one point the referee just said to him, look, seriously, you're on your last.
Actually, there was a moment when he went up to the Fleetwood captain in the penalty area. It was just after his 19th rollover, I think. Yeah. And he had a word with the Fleetwood captain. And then it stopped after that. So he obviously did well with that, I think, the referee. Mm-hmm. Although there were one or two moments when he could have been a bit more... card happy, I thought.
Yeah.
But anyway, apart from that, I thought he did all right with a difficult game to referee, I think.
But with Swindon playing so well at the top of the division now, we're second 1 point behind Bristol City, it's just a sign of a good team that we can win, grind out a victory. Yeah. You know, these are the sorts of games which, you know, if the luck's against you, you just be a goalless draw. I mean, Swindon haven't had a goalless draw, certainly this season. No. When was the last time?
I don't know. Around about February time, perhaps. It's been a long time.
A long time ago.
Yeah.
But it's so important that the Coopers got the team. They're willing to keep trying and persevere.
I think it was certainly apparent last week at Peterborough, where there is an amazing team spirit in that at the moment, in that squad. And, you know, defensively, they were chucking bodies in front of the ball and, you know, where it hurt. And it was completely the opposite to the Cheltenham debacle, if I might put it like that. So obviously that was a real shot in the arm for them. They needed that to actually show them that they weren't quite the great side they thought they were. But defensively at Peterborough, they were fantastic, apart from the goal they gave away. And it carried on yesterday. They looked pretty solid, apart from one or two moments.
Yeah. I mean, you two both go to plenty of away games. I've not been to one for over a year. I mean, what difference is there between watching Swindon home and away? Is it more about how the opposition set themselves up because they're more comfortable at home?
Yeah, so I think it suits Swindon away from home their style, doesn't it?
I totally agree.
Do you find it more enjoyable watching the game in that away environment?
I just sat there at Peterborough thinking, I'm not even remotely worried about this. They're going
to
win it.
Yeah, fair enough. And I think it reflects the fact that we do so well at home to good teams. I think reflects that because, again, they're teams who try to beat us generally. Sheffield United, Preston, obviously Bristol City was a bit different, but when we play at home to teams who don't really try to beat us, we struggle a bit. Mm. I suppose when you go away, generally speaking, teams will try to beat you. And that's why we do so well away now.
I mean, I'd say Chesterfield, you know, that was a fantastic performance. And Chesterfield started brightly, but really once Swindon got a grip of that, their football just took the game away from Chesterfield. And I think away from home, they do get more space, don't they? Because teams... You know, the onus is on them to attack you and then Swindon exploit the space.
So is that a reason why we take such a good away following? Because people know that they're going to see a good game away from home? I mean, I need to find a bit more time to go to some away games, perhaps. But
I love going to away games, actually. Yeah. Probably more than home matches.
I fully agree.
Yeah. It's just a great spirit. Yeah. And certainly at places like Chesterfield. And you know, when your team's winning away from home, there's no feeling like it, is there? It's brilliant.
Especially if you've got a long journey back and you can enjoy it.
Yeah.
And there have been plenty over the years that I can think of.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Fleetwood on the 3rd of January. That should be a really interesting scene because they'll have to attack, won't they? They're at home.
Well, yeah. They've had some high scoring. They're quite good at home. I know they drew 3 all at home to Bristol City, so they obviously have a go. Mm. And it will be, yeah, it should be completely different.
Yeah, it should be, yeah. But I think Swindon's style away from home is almost perfect because they pass people to death, quite frankly.
One thing I've noticed at the home games is that there hasn't been the booing or the as much of the frustration within the crowd about the lack of the impetus.
There were moments yesterday, and, you know, not being a professional footballer and what have you, I don't know, but there were moments when you just thought, you know, a direct ball up the middle, if you put a direct ball up the middle, it might just get through.
But that, I mean, your complaint then is it's directed at Cooper, not the players, because they're doing always what he's telling them to do.
Yeah, yeah, but hey, let's not complain. We're second in the league.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. But it is noticeable that it is people getting used to it. It's very different to Canio's style, where you knew exactly what was going to happen. Yeah. It was very scripted.
Yeah, I think especially in the first half of games, the crowd can be quiet, but that's different to the crowd being negative. Mm. And I think that because generally speaking, the first half, yesterday included, not a great deal happens. No. And that isn't conducive to there being a lot of noise. And I don't think that's something that you can really do anything about.
Well, that's probably why away from home you get a better atmosphere.
Yeah.
Because generally people support their team away from home more than they do at home. And when you're sitting there and not much is going on, it's very difficult to get excited. I can't remember getting too excited yesterday about anything, really.
No, and also away, we often, in the first half of games, we often score. And we often, within the first half an hour, a great deal's often happened. Whereas at home, that's generally not the case.
No, exactly. In the last two games,
yeah,
when you've had sort of 80th minute winners,
yeah, the last three at home, yeah,
yeah, true. Yeah, yeah. I missed the Preston one, yeah. But no,
that's exactly the same. Yeah.
So
I mean, I think the point about the Bristol City game, it was a game of such drama. It's one of the best games I've seen for ages. Brilliant. I mean, it was just a fantastic match from start to finish, all the way through, just about everything happened in it. And you couldn't help but get excited about that. It was just dramatic, wasn't it? Totally the opposite to yesterday, really. Yeah. So you get excited when you can get excited. I think that's pretty much it, isn't it?
Cool. Okay. Well, Jack Stevens, I think, was awarded the Man of the Match yesterday. Hmm. Adam, who's your star performer?
Well, we were discussing this up in the stand, and we all had a different name for it, which I think probably sums up the game, really. I thought Stevens did a lot better. The Cheltenham game, he was poor in defence, and he's since then done well in midfield. And I suppose yesterday was the acid test as to whether he can be a defender, because ultimately we need defenders more than we need midfielders at the moment. I thought he did a lot better. My personal man of the match would have been Louis Thompson. I don't think he's outstanding, but I think he took a lot of initiative, didn't do a lot wrong. And
he just threw himself in quite a lot. You know exactly that. I think there was one time in the first half, actually, one of the Fleetwood players come out quite strongly after one of the challenge. But perfectly legit challenge. He just throws himself in there.
For a 19-year-old, he reads the game so well. Mm. He's so perceptive and intelligent. And he's not got many weaknesses, really.
I think he's the sort of midfielder I love. You don't notice him most of the time. Mm-hmm. Gets on with his job. But without him, you notice it. And that's the thing, isn't it? He's the sort of player, if he's not there, you notice he's not there. Mm-hmm. His brother, of course, now we find out he's got ruptured ankle ligaments.
Yeah.
He had a fitness test, interestingly enough, before the game. So I was in there a little earlier yesterday, which he obviously came through, but then, of course, broke down in the game. So it just goes to show, you know, he wants to play, doesn't he?
Oh, definitely Thompson. I mean, Cooper was describing him as a warrior.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Nathan Thompson.
That's not overstating it, I don't think.
I mean, how risky was it then for Cooper to have played him with an injury? Because considering that the quote from Cooper did say that they thought on Tuesday that he may have broken his leg or ankle. It was just, I don't know where that came from, but it just very much, ruptured his ligaments. Quite a serious injury, and then considering we haven't got a game now for 2 weeks, he could have had a 3 week recuperation period. I mean, how much of a risk, or is it purely down to Branko?
Well, I don't know. So at the end of the day, I think it's up to the player to say, look, I don't want to play. I mean, you got a couple of knocks at Peterborough, if I remember rightly, a couple of nasty whacks there, so maybe that had something to do with it. But he looked as though he was okay, and then he suddenly broke down, didn't he? Yeah, so the pain was obviously too much. But he has got 2 weeks now with no game, so they can try and sort out, hopefully, for the next match at Knox County.
Do you think then, Adam, if Branko wasn't injured yesterday, then Cooper would have been a bit more forceful, say, with Nathan Thompson, say, you're not playing, we need to give you a three-week rest, it's an ideal time before Christmas?
I suppose so, yeah, probably. I mean, we know that Branko's good enough, and he's very different to our other defenders as well, and he's very good at what he does. And with a three-man defence, it does help to have Thompson. We don't have anyone else who's quite like Thompson. Whereas he does make mistakes, and he made one yesterday, I don't think any of the other three are really suited to playing in the sort of deeper sweeper role. But I'm sure we could have... Well, we've made do with that when he's been suspended, and we've done all right, generally.
Mm. Okay, I mean, but it's been very evident throughout the season that when Nathan Thompson has been playing, and we've performed...
He's an absolute leader. But the one thing, it's interesting you said about the mistake. To me, that's why Wes Fodringham would have gone down as my man of the match, because he made that crucial double save at 0-0.
Yeah.
And we were discussing, weren't we, Wes Fodringham, you will never write off as a man. You know, he's always in the frame as man of the match.
So that save was in the first half, wasn't it? Yeah.
So you never write him off as man of the match because he's always does something which changes the course of the game.
I get the sense though from that double save because the Fleetwood player was through on goal and, and then a couple of minutes later he went off injured, didn't he?
Yeah.
So I get the sense that maybe if you perhaps something underlined there and he might have...
I think Fodringham has a fear factor about him. I always remember when Swindon played Southampton in the League Cup and Shilton's in goal and Swindon had several one-on-ones and they suddenly thought... It's Peter Shilton. And I wonder whether there's a bit of fear factor about forwards when they go through. It's Wes Fodringham. Because he is, you know, he's got to be the best keeper in League One.
Definitely.
Yeah. So, you know, and we were discussing, he very rarely gets beaten. When he gets beaten, it's because he is beaten. That's it. Pure and simple. So I wonder whether there's a bit of fear factor now with Wes Fodringham.
Okay, good. A question from Lee Clark via Twitter, actually, going back to Nathan Thompson. He asks, is Nathan Thompson too committed and passionate to play in a role in which he's frequently last man? Going back to a couple of the points that we just discussed about him being sweeper.
It has cost... I mean, I know one of the red cards got rescinded. One was two yellows, which was later said to be a mistake, but... To an extent, yeah. I think once or twice, that Brighton red card, for example, he was the last man. And I think trying to compensate for his own mistake, he dragged the guy down when he probably would have been best not to. Yesterday, he didn't. And I suppose having a bit more discipline about him and knowing that Wes might bail him out under those circumstances has been proved to be a pretty fair logic. And so I think that's got to be the logic moving forward, I guess.
Good, right. Okay, well, moving on from yesterday's game, but off the pitch yesterday, bit of trumpet blowing on my behalf with Trust FC hat on. The game was attended by, 10,500 fans, and attendance was made possible by the Supporters Trust, who secured a deal whereby 3,500 free tickets were distributed to local primary schools. Stratton Park was open, and it was just fantastic to see and be part of a vibrant ground. Many kids and parents around the ground. We had a stall over by the Don Rogers stand before the game, and there was just so many people there you haven't seen before, people asking for directions, they've never been to the ground before, trying to help them out, put them in the right place. It's what the game's all about, isn't it, really? Trying to get
It's lovely to see Stratton Bank full of people. I mean, obviously, if it had been raining and it had been a horrible day, it would have been so pleasant.
A bit of good luck.
Yes, it was a lovely day, so that's fantastic. And it's great. I mean, if you get out of that 3,500, you get, 100 who come back next time, that's got to be worth it, hasn't it? And those young kids, we went into the shop afterwards. It was absolutely packed out. So you know what it's like. Once you have the bug, you can't give it up, can you? So even if you get a fraction of that coming back, it's got to be worth it. Yeah,
and the thing I'd add to that is that we've got perspective. We know that it was a poor game. Mm. But if it's your first game, you don't. You haven't got a clue. And as Vic said, it's probably more important that it didn't rain and that we then scored a goal.
Yeah, at the end, yeah.
Yeah, and that probably counts. And either way, if you've got 3,000, you've probably got a certain number who it would have seen a 4-3 thriller and still wouldn't have been interested. You'll have a certain number who would be hooked on it regardless of the performance. So we shouldn't read too much into the fact that it was a poor game, I think, and it's obviously a great success.
Yeah, I think, there's always a wow factor, isn't it? When you go your first of anything, and you walk into a stadium, there is a certain wow, and you spend 10 minutes looking around and getting your bearings. So and so for a certain percentage of those, they'll be talking about it at school tomorrow. That will be what they're talking about.
I mean, in the end, it's quite easy to get the children hooked about something, if particularly it's the first time that they've gone to see something or been somewhere, because pretty much anything in childhood is exciting. It's more about the parents, because in the end that they have the money and they have to take them to the ground or take them to the cinema or whatever it might well be. So I do hope that the club continue to look at ways in which they can support that in the future.
The thing is this, would they rather have an empty Stratton Bank? Or would they rather have people on it who maybe spend money, not necessarily on the tickets, obviously, but in other ways? I don't know how much it costs to open the Stratton Bank. That's a factor, obviously. But, yesterday Fleetwood brought, 100?
Yeah, 100, yeah.
Bless them. Fair enough. So, a huge amount of that crowd were Swindon fans, and a lot of those were obviously those children. And so it's lovely to see the bank full, isn't it? whether they pay or they don't pay, it's just great to see people on it. Mm,
definitely. I mean, it's strange that the club over the years has never embarked on an initiative like this themselves, or free tickets. They've always seemed to be quite reluctant, not particularly, obviously not talking about the current ownership. No. But over the years, I mean, this, you know, attendance is around about the 8,000, 7,000, 8,000 mark has been what it has been normal for 10 plus years.
Oh gosh,
really?
I remember way back in the 70s, it was, you got down to 7,000 and pretty much that's where it stayed ever since.
Yeah. Although one thing that I always try to mention that we shouldn't forget is around about 01-02, we were regularly getting league gates just over 4,000. And that was at this level.
Yeah.
We were mid-table, third-tier team. We had a lot that were well below 5,000, and we tend not to get league gates below 6,000 anymore. And in percentage terms, that's a big deal. And okay, we're a few down on what we had a couple of years ago, and we have the Decanio Circus and all that. But in the greater scheme of things, I don't think we're too bad. But I do accept, of course, that when we're second and winning every week, there should be good crowds.
Of course. But also remember, of course, we're in that period where money is very tight, because we're in a run-up to the big C word. Mm. And, you know, it is a lot of money. If you go to a regular game, it's a lot of money to go to football, isn't it?
Well, it is that. £3 for a programme, burger, £2 for a cup of tea,
20 odd quid for get in, if you pay on the day. So it's a lot of money if you take three or four people with
parking
you.
Parking as well. It does add up. So hopefully, things move on in the near future as well, more ticketing initiatives as well.
What I'd like to see is something like they do in the States, and this is fantastic. I went to a Seattle Sounders game, and they do this $25 all-inclusive ticket. So you buy a ticket and you sit in a certain section of the ground. All your food and drink is free. So no matter how much you get, it's part of the ticket.
All-inclusive sort of ticket, basically.
Yeah, it's a really good idea. And if you did that in a family enclosure or something, that'd be a real hook for them, I think.
They could do it in our bit with some free beer, as you paid for it in advance. No one.
Non-alcoholic beer, obviously. You wouldn't want to take that into the ground.
Of course not, no.
No.
Right. Moving on to the future now. Not long until the big C word, as Vic's just said. And that's always quoted by whatever manager as being the crucial barometer on league position for whatever team. A number of sort of key factors after that, really, is about the transfer window. But actually, I suppose, might say first, actually, we had the loan window closed this week, thinking about it. And no action other than, last week, Harley leaving to Exeter. George Barkham may have left this week, but didn't, on loan. I think Connor Waldron went to Brackley. Were you surprised, Vic, that Swindon didn't strengthen in the loan window, actually?
Not really. We've got enough loan players, I think. And actually, it was interesting. I was reading on Twitter about the remarks of the Peterborough football reporter and saying how our style of football was a bit based on sand because it was all loan players. Don't know whether I agree with that. Mm. I mean, they're quality loan players. If you get lots of loan players and aren't very good, that might be different. But they are quality loan players, and that's the way lower league football is these days. I think we've got a strong enough squad. What worries most people, of course, is how depleted that squad will be at the end of January. That's the big question, isn't it? Which nobody has the answer to yet.
So at the end of January, we have the Asia Cup. Is that right?
I think it's at some point. Most of January. I don't know the exact dates, to be honest.
Yeah. So on Twitter, Graham Busson asks, how is Cooper going to cope with the Asia Cup, losing Kazim and Luongo for a few weeks, Adam?
Well, we just lost them for a couple of games. I know they came on at Peterborough, but we certainly beat Bristol City without them. We did the hard work against Peterborough without them. We have numbers in midfield. We have, I think we've already acknowledged that Gladwin was probably unlucky not to start yesterday and then came on and did a very good job. And a lot of people say, Jake Reeves has done all right when he's played. We haven't seen him at all for quite a long time now. Mm. We know Jack Stevens can play there and do well. You could certainly argue it's his best position, and he's really in defence because we need defenders rather than because that's what he's best at. We've got Anton Rogers, who's not looked particularly brilliant, but has done all right. So in terms of numbers, we're in midfield, we're absolutely fine. Mm. It wouldn't be such good news if we were losing two strikers, two defenders, or goalkeeper or anything like that, but although they're very good players.
If we still had Brad Smith as a left back, for instance.
Yeah, indeed.
You know, the third player.
Yeah. But I think we're actually fairly, although they are very good players and they will be missed, we're probably as well equipped as we could expect to be to cope without them.
I think it was more of a worry pre-Bristol City and pre-Peterborough. I don't think it's quite so much of a concern that they are quality players, and nobody's denying that. But you know, the fact of the matter is, it's a fact of life. They may get international call-ups if they're quality players, which they undoubtedly are, and so therefore you do have to cope. At left back, of course, we've got Toffolo now. We've got Bell. So reasonable cover there, but I know it's a decent enough squad. I would say to cope with that.
Okay, I mean, does the Asia Cup happening, which is in, I'm trying to find out the actual specific dates of it, but because Luongo's going to be playing there, it kind of indicates no club, people worried about him leaving, but he's not going to leave until that finishes, because nobody will want to buy him.
But he might be.
So if he was to leave, it would be towards the end of January.
I'm wondering whether, you know, Lee Powell did a fantastic job with Louis Thompson. I mean, what a deal that is. I mean, you know, you sell a player and you get him back for the rest of the season. I think that's a fantastic deal. So whether that would be the same with Luongo, who knows?
Mm. Okay, Asia Cup dates are between the 9th and the 31st of January.
They might go off a week or so before that, I suppose.
Mm. Yeah. So they miss pretty much the entire month. Well,
and we're all assuming, of course, that we're going to sell. That's another thing. We're all assuming that, aren't we?
Well, I mean, that's the question from Dan Hunt, actually. He asks, you know, rather worrying about losing players, should the town be strengthening in January? When they, you know, in areas, you know, which areas should we be strengthening?
Ooh, that's a good question. We got two strikers. I mean, at Peterborough, we won with the leading goal scorer sitting on the bench.
Yeah.
So you could argue we've got three strikers who know where the goal is. Both the strikers scored at Peterborough, of course, which is interesting. Struggled a bit yesterday, I thought, Abika, and Williams was kind of peripheral to the game, I thought, yesterday. And then Michael Smith came on still struggling a little bit with a shoulder injury by the look of it. And it was a midfielder who popped up with a goal. So I don't know. You could argue we need another striker in reserve. I don't know.
Okay, well, as I said, wait. Potentially a striker, but when fit, you've got a...
You've got
three good players.
Yeah.
I think it's difficult then to attract someone into the team.
And so you'll be fourth choice.
Unless they are, you know, better than the three that you've got at your disposal at the moment. I mean, in the end, it's just a centre-back position. And it does seem to be the one that is causing a bit of uncertainty, particularly if Stevens is going into midfield to cover for Kazim.
Yeah.
Then you definitely need more covering, you know, at the back there, because there is the injury problems with Thompson, as we've seen. Because we don't know, you know, if he's ruptured ankle ligament.
Yeah. A few weeks, one would suspect.
Yeah, it is quite a serious one.
Mm. I think I'm right in saying that, because we've now passed the 5 yellow card amnesty, haven't we? But I think they were all three of them on 4 yellows yesterday. So luckily none of them got booked. But if things had turned out differently, we could have been left with no centre-packs from Notts County without... Exaggerated.
Yeah. No, true. And you know, does show. I mean, we haven't got the strength and depth, particularly, you know, to bring in a youth teamer at centre back is something which is very unknown.
Yeah, I don't know the situation. I haven't seen the youth team play, so I don't know what the quality of the youth team is. But even so, you know, we're in a pressure situation, aren't you? Sometimes you bring a youth team player. Nathan Thompson was a youth team player, of course, when he came in. He looked terrific when he started.
Yeah, although he didn't really get into the team.
No, him and Caddis, wasn't it, really? And you know, he was a shadow, he had someone to learn from, and he eventually sort of came more into the team. Whereas, you know, same with Lewis Thompson, you know, that first game which he played in the FA Cup, when he scored the own goal, wasn't it? Which is a bit unfortunate on his part, but just showed his determination. Decanio loved him for it. And it's just been consistent ever since.
Had
to play a drip feed, but to chuck someone in.
Yes, it's a tough one. Again, it goes down to finances, doesn't it? And of course, if somebody comes in with an offer, one of your players at this level of the game, it's a fact of life. You keep your club going for another 6 months if you sell a player. You know, that's how it is. And we have to accept it, don't we? Yeah. Whether that will intrinsically dent the promotion hopes, we'll have to see.
Okay. I mean, you touched on, though, about the youth team. I mean, the whole strategy about the club is obviously to bring in some good quality loans and use that to maximum efficiency, but also to look at what we can produce ourselves and to bring those through. Apart from the Thompsons, there hasn't really been the youth products coming through for us to rely upon. There's been no one this season. You know, they're on the bench to experience the first team football in some way, but they haven't been brought on. You know, about Connor Waldron out on loan, Miles Storey not really a youth team player. He's kind of had a lot of experience, and he's obviously away. But Adam, they haven't been brought into the first team in terms of the actual 11. We haven't seen him being brought on as even the second half substitutes.
No, unfortunately, it's a long term thing. But throughout the time I've been watching, 20 years or so, for a town of our size and catchment area, with no league clubs really anywhere near us, we've not done a particularly good job of it. And now we're quite bringing players through, but they tend to be players we've picked up from somewhere else, which is great. It works well for us, but we still haven't really, with the Thompsons aside.
It's like Miles Story from Coventry.
Well, Sean Morrison was from Plymouth, wasn't he?
Yeah. So, even those who we have, sold on of
Ben Tozer is another example.
See, when Plymouth,
That's right. So, that was the Dave Byrne connection, if I remember rightly. But that is the factor, isn't it? I mean, and of course, when you look back in history, a lot of the players that we used to bring in from youth level, we haven't done that for a long time, you're right. I mean, Miles Story was the great hope, wasn't he?
Mm.
Somehow didn't quite live up to that.
No. I don't think he'd really fit our system very well. I'm not sure there's much future for him, unfortunately.
Would you put it down to going back to the early 60s then, Vic, with Burt Head and that group of players drawn from Cheltenham?
Yeah.
You had Don Rogers down in Radstock, I believe.
Yeah.
Still quite local, within a good sort of
20, John Trollope from Rorton.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a different game now, isn't it? And people get signed up as 14-year-olds to £3 million. I mean, it's just a different system altogether now. And, do people go chasing the riches at an early age? Maybe that's the factor. I don't know. But you would think with the amount of football going on as we speak around Swindon, there will be somebody out there that they could actually bring into the squad, or into the system. Is it a scouting problem or is it an academy problem? I don't know. But there are lots of work going on within the club, aren't there, to attract youngsters to the club. So it's that next step up, isn't it? That they don't see. Southampton have a very good youth setup.
Yeah, well, they've got an academy in Bath, so perhaps that kind of takes
some of the away. Well,
Jordan Turnbull's from Trowbridge, isn't he?
Yes.
Yeah. So I think he at Swindon at a very young age and then sort of just
he's
so
in the football community. Yeah.
It would be interesting to see because I think he's great. It'd be interesting to see whether he would have developed so well had he been at Swindon. We'll never know, but I guess although we're doing him some good now, Southampton have to take a lot of credit for how he's turning out, I guess.
Well, they obviously their style of football suits us, doesn't it?
Yeah,
because they're brought up in that way of playing that we're playing now, pretty much. So it's a win-win situation in that regard.
Next one is really about how far can this team go, then, Vic? I mean, you said the other day that enjoy the ride and enjoy it whilst it lasts. But going back to sort of previous sort of successful campaigns when we got promoted, when it's actually dawned upon for instance, that we can really kind of take things seriously.
Going back even as far as 85-86, there was a game at Chester which they won 1-0. And you came away from that game thinking, do you know what? This could be our season.
So how long into the season was
that? That was October, I think, if I remember rightly. And there was another one, I was thinking about this yesterday, it was a similar... It was Macclesfield, do you remember, under Di Canio, and they brought 36 people, I think, Macclesfield. And we scored late on through Paul Benson. And that was the moment I walked away and thought, that's it, that's the championship won. Because it was just a moment when you thought they played awfully, they played like a drain, but they still won.
Okay, Adam, sort of what are your recollections then of sort of when it may have dawned on you that...
It varies. I mean, thinking of the last two promotion seasons, I mean, the last one, which Vic was just talking about, we were seventh on Boxing Day or something. So, and then we had a 10-game winning run.
Then the Northampton.
Yeah, thing. Northampton. Yeah, and that was really, that started to turn. I think that was the first of 10 consecutive wins. So I guess some point. I remember going up with Dan Hunt up to Rotherham, and that was really, we went 2-0 up in about 15 minutes, and they got one back, and that was really, really messy and great. They were playing on this old athletics track somewhere, and we did the dirty bit really well, and that was a similar sort of time, I think. But then the previous promotion, we won our first 6 games and spent the rest of the season feeding off that. So I think it varies a heck of a lot just depending on how things pan out, and I tend you always have to be a bit dubious until you actually get across the line. And even though we ended up basically strong in the league under Zaccagna, we had a bit of a wobble in March, and it's easy to look back and say, oh, it was never in doubt. But I think at the time...
It's weird, because at the time, because your eyes are actually on finishing first in that case, in that Zaccagna season in League 2, and promotion wasn't good enough that year. It was well, to kind it, of put.
Bear
put,
in mind what happened at the beginning of that season, though.
As it went, was as Adam said, with those 10 successive victories, or maybe like 11 or 12, or it was so many. It was absolutely fantastic, unbeaten run that we had. Yeah, you just wanted to keep going.
There is a momentum, and it was certainly the case under the Macari team. And you're not going to lose away from home. You're not going to lose at home. And they beat, I think it was Darlington 1-0 on a scrubby Monday night. It was an awful performance towards the end of the season. But they play like five games in a week, it seemed, because of postponements and things. But they won 1-0, similar to yesterday. So that the answer to your question is they can go up. But it depends on what happens, I think, in January, really.
Definitely. Right, and next couple of games, then we've got Notts County in a fortnight, then Doncaster Rovers, Walsall and Port Vale. So not really a very big-name opposition. It's a little bit... after playing like Bristol Cities and Sheffield United over the last couple of weeks, it's...
Bread and butter games.
It is a little bit. I mean, Cooper was sort of saying previously how it was easy for him to motivate the players for, the bigger games and... Obviously, play Fleetwood, manage to come away with a victory. So it kind of shows that the team want to win those bread and butter games. You say, Vic. Notts County is an away game, is that right?
Yes.
So I mean, that's probably one of the toughest ones. That
they're playing right, aren't they?
Yeah. The odd thing about them though is their away form. Last season, their away form was dreadful. They nearly went down. This season, they haven't lost away yet, and their home form's not all that good. So for some reason, their home and away forms have completely reversed. So going there, especially with the way we've been playing away, is probably better than having them at a county ground at the moment.
We might get a couple of players sent off again at Meadow Lane.
Yeah, that was not a fun end of the season.
No, it wasn't.
Right, okay, well, that's good. Well, that's all that we've got time for this time on the podcast. A massive thanks to Vic and Adam for joining me.
Thank you.
And we'll be back in a couple of weeks, probably to review the year so far, I guess. We're coming towards the end of 2014. So thanks for listening. It's goodbye from all of us. Bye then.